Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are diving into the news cycle or the things that rule the day. I want to finish these resolutions for Kentucky and Virginia, because it's really important that everybody understands that the Constitution was violated in context to what's going on today. It's rather minor. However, Jefferson and Madison recognized that they shouldn't tolerate any type of violation of the Constitution. They were men of honor and integrity, something that has been completely lost today. And so, as we go through today, tomorrow we will go through the Virginia Resolution of 1799 and Jefferson's thoughts regarding the Virginia resolutions, or the failure of the states to step up and get involved. And this was really what prompted, and if you understand how much time they had to pull a political coup off, it's amazing what they were able to do because of their name recognition and how they went about actually calling out the current administration for violating the Constitution. Now, I am here to tell you that what we're facing is so unconstitutional. We're living under so many layers of tyranny that if we do not take a stand, and I'll tell you, I'm a lot happier now than I was a few years ago, because we got more state legislators that are actually stepping up, recognizing that what is on the table is for keeps. Either we're going to keep our liberty and fight for it, or we're going to lose it because they are using a sleight of hand, because, oh, it's really not about liberty. It's about democracy. It's really not about fraud. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about fraud. It's about compliance to the Constitution. And we'll get into that, because as we move forward, the reason I want to kind of give you a summary of where we are today with the petitions and everything else, we will dive into the stuff I've already pre-recorded. And I was planning on playing it back-to-back for 5 days, but there was just so many issues that I needed to inject regarding the election. I just didn't want to re-record this stuff. So we'll play what I recorded regarding the Virginia resolutions, and then on Wednesday we will dive into how things have panned out and how things look regarding what's going to happen to the Electoral College. Our fate in some ways hinges upon this Electoral College. And actually, I will be honest, our fate really hinges upon you. What happens in D.C. is of no consequence if you will be willing to take a stand. It will be of consequence if you continue the status quo, sitting on your hands and doing nothing. And what I mean by that is, if you're not gainfully employed in trying to get the message out about compliance to the Constitution, about republic review, about getting the states to take a stand, and actively working with state legislators, with the NLA, with We the People Foundation, and all organizations that are uniting on the Constitution, then, as I have said before, if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. And I'm hoping that going through the resolutions and how to actually create effective goals and objectives, I hope that that's helped you in trying to create, one, the map to how to get to your ultimate destination in life, And secondly, how you need to plan out this year in attacking the important things. We go through things all the time. And if you're familiar with the 7 Habits of Effective People, Covey talks about draining the swamp, and he talks about fighting alligators. Well, obviously, draining the swamp is the strategic plan. We have to drain the swamp. And it's really interesting how Trump, when he came into office in his 2016 campaign, was talking about draining the swamp. Now, was that a play on Covey's phrase or imagery? If you understand what we are doing and what we have to do, then I think you'll start to understand what's going to happen this year, hopefully in play, because we're actually working with legislators in trying to actually get involved. It really saddens me that some of the legislators that we're working with, who I believe their hearts are in the right spot, they just don't have the conviction of doing what they need to do. It is really, I'll just say, I am sanguine. I am elated. I am, you know, overwhelmed with joy with dealing with state legislators who are so, I'll just say, animated about doing the right thing. This is why we've had like 3 Liberty Summits and phone calls with state legislators of Montana. We've actually had, I believe, Georgia and a few other legislators from different states in these Liberty Summits. It's starting to grow, and that's a good thing. This is why if you're actually in contact with state legislators that are really champions of the Constitution, getting them informed to getting involved and connecting and networking with these other state legislators, because that's what we've got to do. We've got to get these states to work together. Anyway, so we're going to go through some of that stuff, and we'll probably get into some G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. In our next episode, we will be diving into the Kentucky resolutions of 1799 and Jefferson's response to the state's insinuations and lack of doing what they should have done. As you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic-based evidence of what our problems really are, what they've stemmed from, and what we need to do to actually get back into compliance of the Constitution. Now, we have a comment line. And what we want you to do is, if you are inclined to call, if you're inclined to get involved, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. It's our Mobius Strip Press phone call comment line. And so what we want you to do is just call and leave your message if you want to make a comment, if you've got a question. If there's something you want to delve into, we will coordinate with you to talk about it. What we are thinking about doing and going down the path of an open line, you know, type of day to where I can either monologue for the day or we can actually, you can call in like Open Line Friday or something like that. I'm not sure how to get it all fit, but I will say this. I am going to have, I should be scheduled for surgery sometime this week. And so in so doing, I will know hopefully when I am going to be unable to do a lot of things. And so we'll have to, you know, kind of bake a lot of content for people so that, and what we'll do is we'll probably plan on going through the ratification debates once again so that everybody will have a clear picture of how the Constitution was defined. And I want you to contrast how they defined the Constitution to how the Constitution and how the federal government is acting today. This is how you will know how perverted our government has become and how much tyranny we are living under. So with that, we would ask, if you want to be a part of the solution, then we would ask you to actually go and call people, get people involved with the content, with videos and so forth. We are going to be stepping up our endeavor in getting more videos online. I've got quite a few scripts written, and we want to get more of those informational videos so that you can actually start sharing them in social media. We're trying to make these things around 5 minutes long so that it can immerse people in the concepts regarding the Constitution and so forth. And so people can put into context, you know, how far we've drifted from what the framers have given us to how the globalists and communists have obfuscated our Constitution and limited government to a full unlimited government and being able to do anything that they choose. Now, as you know, since I've got less than a minute left, we're in a fight with evil. Whatever you want to label that evil, I label that evil as Satan. And that evil is trying to push us into global governance and into global enslavement. And when people push back in fighting on their terms, that means you're going to court to fight them. In so doing, you are surrendering your sovereignty. We have to basically ignore what they're doing. We have to coalesce with our state's legislators and getting our legislators, instead of going to court, to actually demand and use their authority in demanding the federal government into compliance. Now, we will be back after this, and then I'm going to give you some overview of where we are regarding the petitions. So I think you'll find this information very helpful. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Are you wondering what the heck is going on regarding the spin or the spinning of the Tennessee bombing? It seems to me like we've been handled and we've been given a package, and it seems like the media is starting to recognize that people aren't buying it. I've said this before. If you are a grassroots leader, if you know people that are a grassroots leader, you need to let them know that probably the greatest, if you want to have a protest, if you want to get out into the streets and exert your presence or make your presence known, shut down the media. Go after those who have been obfuscating the truth and who have been spinning the narrative. Go after these folks and shut them down. There's no right to the freedom of the press and freedom of becoming a propaganda mill based on state laws. Unless your constitution, you may want to look into it, but go and actually read your constitution before you do this, but I'll bet you anything, there's nothing regarding the freedom of the press within your constitution. At least, I don't think many states did that. I don't think many states considered the freedom of the press as, you know, as vital as most people think. I do know that the federal government looked at it, that the federal government should not be constraining the press. But I believe the states have a responsibility of ensuring that their press is not only accountable, transparent, but objective and honest in its reporting. And so most people just take complete blind trust in what the press is doing. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to get you to start having this conversation in pointing out that if the press realizes that there's more information that's coming from other sources, they actually quit the dialogue and it just kind of gets buried. Why? Because they don't want a bunch of people looking into it, countering them and challenging them. So the best thing you can do is just go and challenge them on how they've been constantly spinning these lies and basically trying to prove that what is being done by government is in the best interest of all of us. Like what happened in Benghazi, you know, when it was a video that caused the riots in the what was it called, the Arab Awakening? Anyway, give me a break. What we're facing right now in going into January 6th, this Wednesday, what we're facing are two disparate issues. And it seems that the press, once again, has caught on to this concept of fraud, whether it be the conservative side or whether it be the, you know, the progressive side, in downplaying and, you know, basically spinning it that Biden won the election fair and square. And they're completely contrasting against fraud. Well, that's really not the issue. And I want to be very clear on this. There are two positions you can take. You can take a position that is really a zero fight, a zero, what's the best way to say this? A non-winning position. Go look at the Constitution and show me where the federal government has any jurisdiction over elections, whether they can go into the states and dictate to the states what and how they can do, and go through the amendments, because in the amendments, they start clarifying what the states can't do. They can't have poll taxes. They can't do this. They can't take away the voting privileges of a demographic. And if they do, then they lose apportionment regarding that. That's in the 14th Amendment, Section 2. But go through the suffrage for women. Go through these different things that have granted suffrage for all people. And you show me where the federal government has a stand over the sovereignty of the states and how they run their elections. Now, I told you at the very beginning of this election, because it is a federal election, Trump could easily have gone in and actually made sure that people were, one, being able to vote, because the Federal Election Commission, and because it has to do with federal elections, he could have acted, he could have audited this election. But instead, what did he do? Everybody went to the courthouses to sue this and to sue and challenge, instead of just going in and saying, we want a full audit. This is a federal election, and we want to audit this. More importantly, what they didn't do was they didn't go after each and every state, all 31 states, that violated the Constitution. This is why Bob Schultz put together that, 16-page petition, which you can find on reclaimingtherepublic.org on the petitions page. Right there, Bob has taken from, and I believe he got it from Ballotpedia, every single infraction that the states made in violating the Constitution. So let's get back to what the real issue is. Is the real issue voter fraud and how many votes have been counted and how many extra, you know, voters appeared in the election based on, you know, numbers in contrast to how many registered voters are in that state? How can they have that many? Those are all nice ancillary pieces of information, but they are not analogous to what the real problem is. The problem is that the Electoral College, because 31 states who control 401 electors that are all identified in this petition, 31 states violated the Constitution in changing the manner in how electors are chosen. That is a when I say codified, most people don't understand what codified means. Codified means systematic. And so there are systematic processes, like the amendment process is a systematic or codified process. Most people, I think, when I hear them use the term codified, I think they mean galvanized or hardened in. And I'm going, I don't think they understand. Anyway, so we have a codified process that only state legislators can direct the manner in choosing our electors. Governors do not have any constitutional authority, and they violate separations of powers and the principles of a guaranteed clause or the guaranteed form of a Republican form of government. What does that mean? When we talk about a guaranteed and or a Republican form of government, that's Article 4, Section 4, that the United States guarantees that each state will be Republican in form. So what does that mean? Does that mean just representative? No, there's actually a deeper meaning to the Republican form of government. And if you understand a republic and a Republican form of government, it's not just representation, but it is a government based on rule of law, that the laws must be followed. And what we have currently and what's going on in these 31 states to create this unconstitutional, you know, electoral college, we actually have an unconstitutional electoral college. So the real issue, the issue of the day that has to stand as the only position, because if going back to this election and fraud, where does the government, where does the federal government have the authority other than going through an audit and determining what the problems were and how the vote and how the election was thrown? Well, but that doesn't change anything, and that doesn't end or actually throw out the Electoral College, because this had that would have to go through a court process, and the Supreme Court would support the autonomy and the sovereignty of the states over these issues, because there is nothing within the Constitution. Only with federal law can they go through and identify variances. It's up to the states to actually take the appropriate measures in meeting federal laws regarding federal elections, but it doesn't change anything. And what would end up happening on January 6th, if this moves forward, I really have no faith in the court system, and I really have zero faith in the fact that the federal government will do the right thing regarding voter fraud. That they will say, well, you know, the states are sovereign and we can't challenge the states in their certifications. We can't challenge. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them the power to do that. However, there is something in the Constitution to call out the states who unconstitutionally created their Electoral College. And therefore, the Electoral College can be thrown out, and it's okay that the Electoral College for 2020 is thrown out, because there's also a process in the choosing of president. If by chance the Electoral College cannot choose the president, then the responsibility goes to Congress. It's not like we have to have an election all over again. The process, again, the systematic process is clearly identified right there in the Constitution of what to do and what to happen. I'm sorry, this is a rant that's worth ranting, because there is only one way to win the argument, and it is on the Constitution. I constantly say this, that if we're going to win, we have to use the Constitution. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let's just see how this would work. If in the House you have a few representatives that claim voter fraud, which, you, as most people know, the last three Republican presidential wins was challenged by the Democrats, challenged on, you know, they claim fraud and so forth. So in other words, they have been doing this. And I always go back to, you know, pointing out human behavior, that when somebody, you know, let's say all of a sudden you're talking about the estate of a past loved one, you know, your parents have passed, and the children are getting together, and one of the children says, okay, well, the law dictates that this is what has to happen. Then, all of a sudden, one of the siblings points the finger at that sibling and says, you only care about the money. You don't care about, you know, how these things are going to be preserved, how, you know, the memories of our parents are to be preserved. You're just a greedy, money-grabbing, you know, and all these insinuations begin to fly. Well, the person that starts making those insinuations, Their paradigm is that they only care about the things which it quantifies to money. I have seen this time and time again. The person that commonly complains and accuses somebody of doing something is 9 times out of 10 guilty because that's how they think and that's how they perceive things to be. Instead of saying, oh, that's the legal process of what we need to do. Oh, okay, I didn't know about that. But what they try to do is they try to use guilt in pointing and claiming that one of their siblings, you know, doesn't care about the heritage and the preserving of, you know, these mementos and memories and so forth. You know, instead, well, you know, like they look at the car, they look at the house as something that must be preserved. And it's one thing, whoever the executor is, to say, what do we want to do with the house? Do we want to keep the house? If we keep the house, then we need to put it into a trust where the trust actually pays for, because the house could actually be rented, and the estate over the course of the next years or however long that house is maintained as the estate, it can be a money producer for everybody. But everybody else would go, no, that would be, you know, that would be, what do you want to call that? When it violates the sanctity of the memory or what have you, letting anybody else live there. I have seen this, and I have seen this played out to where one of the siblings basically says, I'll take the house because I'm the oldest and I will preserve, you know, mommy and daddy's memories. And what they're doing is they're basically frauding their siblings because by law, that house must be sold, especially if there's no will. But if there's a will that actually dictates that everything be sold, then it's done. There's no arguing over that. And I am telling you that when you see people like the Democrats point the finger at the Republicans of voter fraud without any evidence, as we see what has happened, there is, I'm not saying that there isn't fraud. There is a plethora. I have told you going into this election that Trump will win this election, that Biden will get more votes via fraud. And he, if he wins, it won't be because he actually won the election. It will be because of fraud. And I was right on that. I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. But the point is, and what we have to really understand moving forward, is that the fraud issue, the call of fraud, is one that does not stand in a legal case regarding the federal government. The Congress has no power to guarantee that the states must do their elections a certain way. It is up to the states to choose. However, the Constitution does dictate that only the state legislators have the authority in dictating the manner of choosing electors. So going in on the 6th, and anyone that starts talking about fraud and fraudulent votes, fraudulent certifications, and so forth, they are making an argument that has no merit, that will not stand. And if they even convince enough people, because of fraud, we're going to throw away the Electoral College, the Supreme Court could step in and say, you can't do it. You have no basis of this and cannot do this. States are sovereign. So what do you do? Well, the only thing you can do, is you can actually make the stand and take the position that the federal government can actually call out the states, all 31 states, for violating, point to the 401 electors to say, these electors are unconstitutional. Okay, so you throw them out. Well, what do you have left? Do you have enough left to actually elect a president, to choose a president, because you need 270? No. In other words, if you throw out the unconstitutional Electoral College, the Electoral College becomes moot. It doesn't matter how they voted. It doesn't matter how the states voted. What matters now is the constitutional process, the systematic or codified process that dictates that if the Electoral College cannot choose president and vice president, then what will happen is the burden goes to Congress, and Congress must choose the president and vice president separately. Now, I will say this. I would love to see this happen. I would love to see the epiphany in Congress to say, we're not responsible or accountable to following the party system. We're going to elect Trump as president and Biden as vice president. Because you know what? They can do that. There's nothing in the Constitution that says they can't. That is how Abraham Lincoln had a Democrat vice president with Andrew Johnson. Sorry. Andrew Jackson was a Democratic president, but he wasn't the vice president of Lincoln. Anyway, see, it's those little nuances that always trap me with these, you know, naming, you know, conventions and so forth. If you want to understand what is really going to happen and, you know, where the merit stands, because I will tell you, it will be a big bamboozling of America if they actually gain traction and they actually win their argument regarding this fraud and getting the elections thrown out of these states. There is no constitutional standing that the federal government can do that. But there is constitutional standing to throw out the Electoral College because the states violated the process. So, to be very, very clear, I just want you to understand that there's really only one way forward on the 6th. And this is why we asked you to sign these petitions. This is why it is important to understand the position that wins and the position that will produce nothing. Or if it produces something, it will be it's just like these lawsuits that get thrown out. One state can't go after another state to say, hey, this state, you know, violate. The only position that the Attorney General of Texas should have taken, and they should have gone after all 31 states, is that these states violated the Constitution and should have called into question the Electoral College. So why is it? Why is it that they actually dug their teeth into this fraud? I'm telling you that everybody that is doing this is supporting the overthrowing of our democracy and our constitutional process of the Electoral College. I have to believe that these people at least understand that the Constitution has, you know, there's things that you can actually build a case on, and then there's things that you can't build a case on. And I would like to think that these lawyers know what they're doing. This way, I believe that these lawyers and these politicians are corrupt, that they are actually supporting the overthrow of our election via the unconstitutional Electoral College. Sorry, that's the only argument that wins at the end of the day. And so with that, I got less than a minute. So I haven't been able to get into the need-to-know news. But when we get into the need-to-know news, we've got a lot of catching up to do. And the reason I like doing that is strictly for the intent to show you all of the things that are going on that you don't hear in the news. Okay, so we've covered the disparate issues. So going into the break, let me just kind of give you my real hope regarding, you know, how things happen. Because when Clinton was in office and Gore and Bush boiled down that it, you know, somehow Bush actually won that election, I believe America lost. Because what we got with Bush was we got the same thing as Gore, except it wasn't the hard left progressive, but it was still big government and it wasn't dismantling the Leviathan. I will be back on my position on Trump right after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I think I'm done dragging this dead horse regarding these two issues. So let me do one thing. Let me give you some status on the petitions. And I want to thank everybody, because actually we've got well over 1,000 people that hit the website. And either, you know, downloaded, read, got the guidance, or clicked on the link that took them to either Occupy the Constitution or the NLA. And so and I didn't know that the NLA had basically pulled out the petition at the end of last week, because I think at that point in time they felt that it was too late to do any planning. And so with that, some people clicked on the link and said, oh, it's dead. Well, that's because we ran out of time. We only had 2 weeks to do this. However, we got well over 1,000. Actually, I will say in the thousands as far as the petitions go, because I know electronically Bob has well over 1,000 himself, in addition to I know that there are petitions by state legislators that are representing tens of thousands of people. So I want you to understand, when you start looking at the magnitude of when sheriffs and when state legislators sign petitions to Congress to demand that they comply to the Constitution, well, then I believe that, you know, that carries a heck of a lot of weight. And so now we're now in the magnitudes of tens of thousands of signatures, including those public servants. So with that, I just want you to know that I believe that this was a pretty good success as far as people starting to wake up and, one, using their First Amendment right of petition and starting to demand Congress. And so what has to happen? The follow-up, now that these petitions have been launched and dropped on Congress, both the House and the Senate, now what we have to do is we have to hold them accountable. Well, how do we do that? We got to call them out, every single one of them, all of Congress, for failing to do their job and violating the Constitution. Because they have a responsibility to address within the reasonable amount of time. And because the issue was the 6th of January, if they don't respond on the 6th, then they have failed to reasonably respond to this cry of the public to say the Constitution has been violated and the EC must be thrown out. And I want you to understand that Pence, the vice president, as the president pro tempore of the Senate, the president of the Senate, he can actually stand and use plenary authority and power, which means the ultimate power over one issue, and he can actually throw out the Electoral College for the Senate to say, you can't even accept these votes. And if the Senate can't accept the votes, then the House can't accept the votes. And there's no way, once you take the position that these are unconstitutional positions, that how would Congress act if the president declared war and started prosecuting a war without, you know, following the codified, the systematic process that Congress must declare war? And it's the separation of powers, and Congress would feel the exact same way regarding the president overstepping their bounds as they should with governors and judges overstepping their bounds of the sovereigns. And so he would have the moral high ground. This would be the end all. It would be done. Biden would not become president. I'm telling you that this is the only solution. And so anybody that wants to use any desperation, you know, communicate with Trump via you got the contact. We gave you the contact, the White House. Reach out and tell them, hey, on the 6th, Pence needs to reject the Electoral College because it is unconstitutional, because 31 states actually violated the Constitution by not allowing the state legislators to choose. Therefore, 401 electors are ineligible to cast their votes. It's that simple. Anyway, I can go on and on and on over this, and I don't want to necessarily drag a dead horse. I'm very upset, but what I'm really upset more about is how conservatives are whining and crying about fraud and not about the Constitution. In other words, remember at the beginning of every show, I talk about who the enemy is and how the enemy constantly convinces us to fight him on his terms. He wants you to fight this whole election fiasco on fraud because he knows he wins. However, when we use the Constitution and stand on the facts that the Constitution has been violated, then now the Congress's hands are tied and they must throw out the Electoral College. Now, let me wrap up with my feelings regarding Trump. And if you talk to any conservative leader, Tom DeWeese and I had this conversation. I've had this conversation with Bob Schultz. I've had this conversation with many a good leader. And every single one will tell you that when we have a conservative president or a rhino president, actually, because we've yet to have a good constitutional president since the early 1800s. And so every time we get a Republican or a conservative, especially over the past century, every time these guys step into position, well, what ends up happening? Well, they don't do anything. Reagan didn't do anything. He stood up against the budget, but he did not go to the states and say, you must dismantle us, because he didn't understand the Constitution. He was equally illiterate as everybody else, and he was equally steeped into the party system and the status quo, just like everybody else. And so the only way I believe that America is going to wake up is when the kicking commences and our teeth are starting to get knocked out, people are starting to get unconscious, and we are taking a beating. And that's what the progressives will do. And they're going to do everything they can to take our liberty. And so if Trump gets elected, then we will have another 4 years of complacency on the Constitution and nothing will happen. If you believe with these sealed indictments, if you believe that something is really going to happen, I'm here to tell you that you're in la-la land. You've got to wake up and start smelling the roses. There is zero evidence that Trump has actually gone after and held people accountable. I mean, look what happened to what's his name? Epstein or whatever, the guy that died in jail. You know, I'm bad with names. Weinstein and, you know, the pedophile, the Epstein, the guy that, like I said, that supposedly killed himself. You know, why is it that things are happening under Trump's watch? And, you know, we didn't get the evidence necessary because people are getting Arkansas'd. They're being killed by people that are a part of the deep state. I want you to understand that politicizing positions has been a part of politics for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you evidence of this in 2 minutes because that's all I have left. Right now, if you go and you do a search on the Secret Service for Biden's team, you will see that the Secret Service leadership is now trying to pull back because Biden has requested that he get his team back in place in managing and protecting him. Why? Because he knew that he had a politicized group that were loyal to him. And he's basically accusing Trump of politicizing. And this is the narrative that's coming from the press. Quote, the U.S. Secret Service has been planning to bring back to the White House a group of agents that previously worked with President-elect Joe Biden when he was vice president to fill out his security detail, a law enforcement source confirmed. So they have politicized every facet, the FBI. This is an indictment that proves that they know how far the deep state is and they do not trust those people that Trump put into office. And they want their people to protect their secrets and their lies and their violations of the Constitution because that's what they are all about. You cannot have anybody employed by government who does not bring to work their politics, whether it be the DMV or any what would seem an innocuous position. This is why and how in red states that did not allow driver's licenses to be given to illegal aliens, how in blue cities in red states, DMV actually turned the other way and allowed, when they could do it, they allowed illegals and they helped illegals do this. And this is why you have driver's licenses. And in Oregon this year, Oregon is allowing illegals to obtain driver's licenses, which is their path to voting. Folks, they are doing everything they can to steal your liberties. What's it going to take to wake you up? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.